Good morning. Our first reading comes from the Book of Psalms, the ancient Jewish hymn book. Filled with the songs of celebration for all the seasons and occasions in the life of the Jewish nation and faith, the Psalms celebrate life, lament in times of sorrow, rage in times of distress, and honor the ancient relationship of God with the people and the creation. Today, we hear a poem declaring God's active creative place in the creation. The scripture, the Psalm is 19, and I'll read stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. And please join in the responses as on the screen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the vault of the sky reveals God's handiwork. One day speaks to another, and night shares its knowledge with might. And this without speech or language, their voices are not heard. Their sound goes out to all the lands, their works to the ends of the earth. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from under the canopy, like an athlete eager to run the race. It's rising at the end of the sky. It runs its course to the other, and there is nothing that is hidden from its heat. God's law is perfect, refreshing the soul. God's instruction is sure, giving wisdom to the simple. God's precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. God's commandment is pure, giving light to the eyes. God's fear is clean, enduring forever. God's judgments are true, every one of them righteous. More desirable than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, pure honey from the comb. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight, God, my strength and my redeemer. Our gospel reading comes from the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, in which Jesus is baptized and then is compelled to spend 40 days in the wilderness. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
you join me in prayer? O God, your ways are beyond our comprehension, and yet you have given us minds and hearts and souls to ponder your ways. And so today, in our pondering and in our searching, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm driving up to Kelowna this past week because my son had a dental specialist appointment and the specialist happened to be in Kelowna. And as we drove through the incredible, you know that where that Coquihalla goes through these incredible sheets of rock that have been carved by glaciers thousands of years ago right near the top of the Coquihalla, and you can see the scraping of the ice and stone from thousands of years ago. I mean, it's stunning. As we're going through that, we got to talking about how amazing it all is. The car was struggling in cruise control. So in one fairly fluid motion, I touched the brakes, put in the clutch, geared down, then reached behind the steering wheel and turned off the cruise control. Took me about 3 seconds max. And then it occurred to me what had just happened within me. I want you to think about this for a second. My eyes, I mean, and you've all done this, but in that moment, it was me. My eyes noticed that the speedometer was saying that I was slowing down, and my ears told me that the engine was laboring. And my frontal cortex, this part of the brain that I'm aware of some of the time, registered that from past experience, that means that the engine needs to change some things. But of course, I wasn't aware that my frontal cortex was doing that when it was doing that. It just did it. All of it was automatic. What was also automatic was the way that my brain told my foot to reach out and depress the clutch, which meant that the muscles needed to know that the brain was telling it what it was telling it. And my hand reached down to rest on the gear shift, and my right foot also reached out to prepare to push down the gas pedal, which meant that my frontal cortex needed to tell my hand and my foot at the same time to do those two different things. So my foot did not go for the steering wheel or for the gear shift, and my hand for the, you know, my frontal cortex is working. And then when I released the clutch, I could rev the engine not slow down the car too much, which, once again, my frontal cortex, busy, told me was not a good thing. Then my brain body did a funny thing that it had learned to do all at once without much thinking at all. Push clutch, rev shift, let go of the clutch while keeping the revs in sync with the speed of the car. Anybody who's ever tried to teach a teenager to do that knows just what a spectacular little maneuver that is. And then, and I'm not trying to show off here, but because my brain told me that I was going to be in trouble up the road with the cruise control, while I was doing all this other stuff, my left hand reached down underneath the steering wheel to a place I could not see, to a little arm with buttons on it, and my finger felt the little one at the end and pushed it to turn off the cruise control while watching the roads and holding the steering wheel with the other hand and maintaining the speed with my foot. All in 3 seconds. much less time than it has taken me to tell you about it. Isn't the brain amazing? Isn't the body amazing? To know how to do all that stuff when the brain tells it to, and even when the brain, to my awareness, didn't, but did somehow. The way that the body stores smart little movements in itself so that it will just do them, so that the brain can be thinking about other things while it's doing them. Isn't that amazing? The eyes, the ears, bringing information in. The fact that I can tell you about it later with even a clue of how that actually happens is amazing in itself. Today I'm beginning a sermon series on creation and the ways in which God speaks to us through creation. And I started with my brain body because I want us to place ourselves as part of the creation, not as masters of it or as victims of it, but as an integral part of it, as partners within it, as matter just like everything else, as a miracle just like everything else. And I plan to string some words together over the next few weeks celebrating that. And how I believe the presence of God, the wisdom of God is revealed if we pay attention to that. But I got to tell you that from my perspective, words are always going to fall short. The sunset speaks what words cannot. The smile of a child is without adequate description. And the simple reality of life, when you actually think about it, means awe is the only rational response. So awe is where we begin. I want to do a little experiment. This isn't going to be a floating paperclip. This is an experiment that's going to happen inside of you. And I'm borrowing this from the genius of the cosmos, Brian Swim. I want to invite you to become a part for a moment of the Milky Way. See if you can imaginatively free yourself from 70 million years of conditioning regarding our place in the universe. Imagine the Earth floating in space, just floating there. And instead of picturing your own place kind of perched on the top of the Earth, arrange that picture in your mind so that you are on the bottom. Now, imagine yourself peering down into the great chasm of the night sky. This may take some time, but the moment will come in a rapid reorganization of phenomena when all those stars will be experienced as down below, far, far down below. And the amazing feeling accompanying this experience is the sense of surprise that you're not falling down to join them. Earth's gravitational power holds you, and you feel the strength of that bond in the pressure felt on your shoulders, along with your back and your behind, into your legs. It's the Earth's hold that keeps you suspended from the stars. Keeps you from falling down. That way. Way down. Into the Milky Way galaxy. And as you feel yourself hovering within this gravitational bond while peering down at billions and billions of stars drifting in the infinite chasm of space, you will have entered an experience of the universe that's not just human, it's not just biological. You will have entered into a relationship from a galactic perspective, becoming part of the Milky Way. You see, it's about perspective. And there is nothing except 70 million years of conditioning that tells us that that's not down from a Milky Way perspective. It's about perspective. It's about God's perspective. God did not create just you and me. God did not just create the earth and its creatures. God created, and the universe is all of it, with its amazing forces working together to keep us from falling into and among the stars. Working together to make life wild and beautiful and awesome and powerful and dangerous. And we are specks in that universe, but not just specks. We are specks that can see and understand that vast universe in little bits and pieces. We have the ability, like Moses, to stop and, like the children, say, "What?" And we have the capacity, like Jesus, when he comes into the awareness of the blessing of the one who made all of this, to head out into and among the wild things to get a sense of just what that means for his life. I believe that if we are to follow in the way of Jesus, we too need to know our place in the universe, to be in touch with the creation, and have perspective on our whole lives in relation to this amazing up-down thing. And we need to cultivate awe and reverence, the inclination to take off our shoes and just stand there. I have a friend named Phil, and he loves to take people on experiences on foot and in canoes in the creation. And one of those experiences, this is one of those experiences. This is Christmas Day on a lake that's partly frozen. And we decided it would be cool to go canoeing, to see what that might be like. And we didn't have shoes to take off, so we took off our shirts. Phil's a really, really good friend of mine. And he takes people into the creation on foot or in canoes. And one of the experiences he does with people is that he takes them on what he calls a belly walk. A belly walk. He gives them each toilet paper roll inside, you know, the cardboard inside the toilet paper rolls, you know, kindergarten crap things. He gives them one of those and he says, "I want you to go outside and lie down someplace on your belly, on the ground, and take the toilet paper roll and close one eye and open the other and look through it at some part of the earth and see what you see. Spend some time, take 5-10 minutes looking at just one spot on the ground. Notice what's there. Inevitably, people come back amazed at what is contained in a 1.5 inch diameter piece of the creation. What's actually there? Living things, minerals, creatures, different textures of material and color. Did you know that contained within a cubic inch of healthy, fertile soil, there is an average of 3 super antibiotics? Compounds that are created powerful to balance life. This is a close-up mosquito, by the way. Pay attention to the creation and you will see into the genius of the Creator. I blithely walk past unaware and you miss so very much. Attention is the beginning of awe and reverence. Over the next 5 weeks, I want to challenge you to awareness, to attention, to the creation. Attend to the world around you and the world that you are. Stop and look and behold what you see. I mean, we are in a gorgeous part of the world at a stunning time of the year, so this is not a hardship, I know. But let your imagination and your senses lead you to an awareness of your surroundings. Get lost for a moment in the place you're standing. Press pause and notice. For once again, in the words of Brian Swim, we work to ignite life. You must see this as basic to the universe. Consider the star. In the core of the star is helium, carbon, oxygen, silicone. All the elements up to iron in the periodic table are there, created in blazing heat. If a star is of significant enough size, after billions of years, it explodes, creating all the rest of the elements, sending them off into the universe. Our own solar system emerged from an exploding supernova, creating the planets and their many elements. Minerals and life forms are created out of supernova explosions. Now reach in and see if you can see the genius of God in that one. And then stop, think about it, and when you breathe the creations of stars. All the life you will live and experience is possible because in the genius of the Creator, the star burst. Your life has been evoked through the work of the heavens. You see? Get lost in that and give thanks. Amen.